Malcolm was here once again. I'll say it time and time again. It's nice to be here, and thank you for the invitation. It's nice to see a lot of faces I do, some faces I don't. But if you're here for the first time, I give you a very happy welcome. Could you turn with me, please, to John chapter 8? John chapter 8 to start. John chapter 8, reading from verse 1. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple. And all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught him. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down, and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted himself up and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted himself up and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Could we turn over, please, now to Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7, reading from verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him, that is the Lord Jesus, that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with her tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence, and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore, which of them will love him the most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman since the time I came in hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. Now could you turn over, please, to Matthew's Gospel, Matthew 16. Matthew 16, reading from verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I am, that I the Son of Man am? And they said, Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others, Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I also say unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then he charged the disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and be raised again the third day. Now, if we look at these three portions of scripture, we can see there are different circumstances. And in life today, people find themselves in all sorts of difficult circumstances. Circumstances over which they have no control. Sometimes circumstances just keep up and grab us, and we've got to deal with it. And in the first two of these occasions, the Lord Jesus is a real people person. He deals with people in a tender way, in a just way, and in a loving way. And the first person we read about was a woman caught in the act of adultery. And those religious people thought, we'll see how he reacts to this. They brought circumstances upon him. And he said, look, this woman was caught in the very act of adultery. And the scripture says she should be stoned. According to the Old Testament, she should be stoned to death. What do you say? And the Lord Jesus, when he be trapped. And he doesn't say anything. But he writes on the ground with his finger. And he stands up. Looks at the company again. And bows down to the ground. And starts writing on the ground. And in between these two things, he said, Who is within? Let him first cast the stone. In other words, if you have any sin, you have a right to throw the first stone at this woman because of the sin that she's committed. And then he starts to write on the ground again. He's back down the second time, writing on the ground. And it's as if he's never heard what the Pharisees have said to him. And he still bowed down to the ground. What he's written, we're not told. We can speculate, but we don't know. But when he rises up again, from the eldest to the youngest, the accusers have all disappeared. They're gone. So he turns to the woman and says, "Where's your accusers? They've all gone." He says, "There's nobody here to condemn me." He says, "And I'm not condemning you either. But what I will say is, go and sin no more." The Lord Jesus Christ knew the hearts and the minds of the people who were her accusers, that they really wanted to entrap him, but it wasn't going to happen. And if we trust Jesus Christ as our Saviour, this is what's expected of us, to go and sin no more. In other words, if we have been perpetrators of a particular sin or particular sins, he expects us to forsake them, to go and sin no more. We can't say more than that. Go and sin no more. But when we come to the second circumstance, what's happened? Here's a Pharisee, religious man, supposedly steeped in the Old Testament scriptures, knowing them almost from beginning to end, knowing the law that Moses had, and he, in his own, or use a Scots word, pocky way, says to the Lord Jesus, "Come into my house and we'll have fellowship together. We'll have a meal together." So it was fine. The Lord Jesus accepted the invitation, went along to the Pharisee's house, and in the course of being there, a woman turned up. It would seem, by implication, that the woman is a woman of ill repute, a woman of the city. And she does something that's very peculiar. She's a woman who's recognized the Lord Jesus for who he is. Tears are streaming from her face. Maybe because, in the presence of the Lord Jesus, she recognized her own insignificance. But she maybe also recognized in her heart that she was a sinner in the presence of the Son of God. And the tears are running from her face, streaming from her face. And what does she do? She kneels at his feet. The tears stream down, and they wash the dust in the street from his feet. She embraces his feet, she kisses them, she anoints them with ointment. Brilliant. But then Simon, this Pharisee, he is a person who thinks. And he's thinking to himself, in our terminology, "I wouldn't let her anywhere near me." And yet, he's thinking, "I wouldn't let her anywhere near me." But what he forgot was, Jesus, being the Son of God, knew his thoughts. He knew what was in his heart. So he tells him a wee story. "Simon, there's two men who are debtors. One owes 500 pence, which in these days would be an awful lot of money, and one owes 50 pence. Who do you think would love him the most?" And Simon thinks to himself, "Probably the one who was forgiven most." In our parlance, the Lord Jesus would say, "Simon, you've hit the nail on the head." He says, without saying anything, he says, "See this woman, when I came to your house, a common courtesy would be to give me water to wash my feet. You didn't do that. Yet this woman, whom you looked down on, she washed my feet with her tears, and it wasn't even her house. You didn't anoint my head with oil as a sign of welcome. But this woman, what did she do? She brought her alabaster box of ointment, something that was precious something that was costly. What did she do? She broke it and she anointed my feet. And not just that. She towelled my wet feet with the hairs of her head. You provided me no water. You didn't anoint me. You didn't provide a towel for my feet. These are the common courtesy things that you should have done and you haven't done. And yet, you have the audacity to look down on this woman. So what does he say? He says, woman, your sins are forgiven. And Simon must have thought to himself, what on earth is going on? Little did he realize the Lord Jesus Christ had power on earth and still has power on earth to forgive sins. Thy sins be forgiven thee. Now then, forgiveness is something that isn't always given easily. Forgiveness isn't something that we always deserve. But the Lord Jesus Christ recognized in this woman that in his presence, to a certain extent, she was heartbroken. She recognized her character, her own self. She recognized her character. And so she worshipped him. Worshipped him because he was the Son of God, because he deserved to be worshipped. Simon, he didn't care. He was possibly and probably offended because the Lord Jesus took the woman's part. He was being high-minded. The Lord Jesus is a real people person. And as the scripture says, he who seeks the Savior will find the Savior. When we came to the last reading, particularly concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, we've got to realize this. That circumstances were brought to him. And was sort of, in a way, kind of forced on him. But in the last portion we read, the circumstances were brought to him. He was going to the circumstances. What does it say? In Caesarea Philippi, he puts a question to his disciples. Who do men say that I am? And they say, Elias, Jeremiah, John the Baptist, one of the prophets. And that was a sort of general consensus to the public in general. But then it becomes very pointed. And he says, that's okay, that's what the public say. That's what other folks say. But who do you say that I am? And Peter says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the Lord Jesus says, God has revealed this to you exactly who I am. But in the last verse that we read, we're told this, that having made himself known to his disciples, and they acknowledge exactly who he is, the Son of the living God, he determines to go to Jerusalem. He determines to go to Jerusalem, and before he goes, he knows what's going to happen. He has put himself in the circumstances. Because what does he tell him? He says that the elders, the Pharisees, the scribes, and our terms are going to gang up against him, and they're going to have him put to death. Even the world's a bit of conniving amongst that. So what does he say? He goes to Jerusalem. So let's follow it through. He goes to Jerusalem. And what happens? Judas, one of his disciples, betrays him for 30 pieces of silver. And puts him into the hand of the authorities who are wanting to get rid of him. So, in the company of his disciples, in the Garden of Gethsemane, what happens? A multitude come. with their torches, light up the darkness, and they take him prison. They take him to the high priest, who says, we'll get him to go to the Romans. We'll pass the buck. We'll make it seem that we're not putting him to death. The Romans are putting him to death. In the meanwhile, the Lord Jesus is taken. He is abused physically. In Isaiah 53, basically, we're told that he's led as a lamb to the slaughter. The hairs of his face from his faces are plucked out. I have a moustache, and that's obviously seen. But if I pluck one hair, it doesn't happen. It says they plucked off the hairs of his face. They stripped him. They flogged him. They put a robe on him and mocked him as being a king. A crown of thorns on his head. A reed for a scepter. Mocking him. And then, after all that was done, those scribes and Pharisees stirred up the crowd, because having put him to the Romans, what happened? They put him before Pilate, who held court. He said, look, this is the time of year when I would normally release a prisoner. He says, now, they'd already said of the Lord Jesus Christ, I find no fault in him. What's that? Absolutely no fault. He says, so I'll give you a choice. There's the Lord Jesus Christ on one hand, there's Barabbas on the other, who is a thief and a murderer, an insurrectionist. Who do you want? The Pharisees have stirred up the crowd, saying, we don't want Jesus. We don't want him to be our king. Release Barabbas. So Barabbas was let go. The Lord Jesus Christ was then taken and forced to carry a cross, to be taken outside the city wall. And there he would be crucified. There's a scripture that says, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. So if you can imagine, brow of a hill, a socket in the ground to take a cross. The Lord Jesus, and we can't even begin to imagine what like it is. And the agony that was already suffered from the scourging, from the plaited crown of thorns, and getting nails driven through your hands and feet. It's impossible for us to imagine. But the cross is lifted up, sunk into the ground, and the Lord Jesus is lifted up. There are people who looked on him in disbelief, not accepting who he was. There were those who looked on him and knew exactly who he was. Even in such circumstances, he could look at those who were crucified on either side of him. One cursing him, one accusing him, one saying, if you be the Christ, save yourself and us. But one of these men that was crucified alongside him said, Lord, he took a thought to himself. He said, his other compadre, we're here because we get what we deserve. We're criminals, we deserve to be punished. He said, but this one, he didn't deserve to be punished. And once he said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He recognized something in the Lord Jesus Christ that those who were crying for and begging for his blood didn't recognize. And after a time, the Bible tells us this, that the Lord Jesus Christ spoke from the cross saying, it is finished. He bowed his head and he died. If you're more acquainted with your Bible, you might think it's the end of it. It wasn't the end. It was the beginning. Because the Lord Jesus Christ also said from the cross, Father, forgive them, you don't know what they're doing. But in the act of hanging on the cross, the sky was blackened out. Nobody could see. And in that period of time, God laid on him the sins, the judgment for sin that you and I have committed for the whole of our life, and for the whole of the life of the people who were there. He became a sacrifice for sin. A sacrifice for sin so that we could be forgiven. And you may say, okay, but he's been crucified, he's died. Men who love them have got permission to take him down from the cross and put him in the tomb. So, that's what happens when people die. But the difference is, death, which is the result of sin, had no claim on him. And as such, the third day, after he was put in the tomb, he rose from the grave. Sin had no claim on him. Sin couldn't keep him there. Whereas you and I, if we die outside of Christ, we die in our sins, we have no hope. The beauty of the thing is this, that Jesus Christ, who has forgiven, and the people who have received him as their Saviour, he says, today, you'll be with me in paradise. Should we die, we'll be with him in paradise. Folks, tonight, Jesus Christ is worth receiving as Saviour, because without him, there is no hope for eternity. These two women we've read about, they experienced a forgiveness, a warmth, a love from the Lord Jesus Christ. Tonight, that same love looks on you and hopes that you'll trust in the Saviour. The problem is a rebellious spirit in everyone else. We rebel when we say no to Christ, no Son of the Living God for me. Tonight, your opportunity to have your sins forgiven, if you put on the right foot with God, all hinges on this. Romans 10 and 9 puts it this way. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, or Jesus the Lord, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. No dubiety, no argument. The fact is there, the statement's there. Tonight, you have an opportunity to trust Jesus Christ as your Saviour. It's no easy. It's the right thing to do. One of these women was told, go and sin no more. The Lord Jesus Christ wants you to do that. Go and sin no more. But you can only do that through receiving him, trusting him, letting him into your life, and making him your personal Saviour. So why not do that tonight? Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight in the name of our Lord Jesus. We thank you for that name which prevails over you, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is King of Kings. He is Lord of Lords. He is the Saviour of the world to those who avail themselves of it. Is the great Redeemer. Lord, people need the Lord Jesus Christ in their lives, whether they realize it or not. Tonight, Lord, for those who have heard a stammering presentation of our Lord Jesus Christ, we would pray that for those who are saved, that we will rejoice in Christ our Saviour. For those who are not saved, But tonight you may consider it and go beyond that and trust your Son and Savior. Lord, we commit this company to you now and pray your blessing. We pray for the forthcoming meetings at home that it will be a blessing to have people both hear and trust your Son and Savior. With these things in our mind, we commit again the company to you in our Lord Jesus' name.